Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what one should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and the nature of consciousness. You're more than welcome to ring in during the program to ask questions or make comments. For more information about our organization Toward the Light on this radio program, please visit our website towardthelight.org and towardthelight.info. Well, we were to have a special guest who was booked to be on today by the name of Derek White Sky Cloud, but he wasn't able to make it due to a death in the family, although we all know that death is an illusion. So I'm very, very pleased to have another special guest, which resulted as a result of very auspicious turn of events that took place. A wonderful psychic and medium. Let us welcome to Toward the Light, Joanna Garzilli. Hello, Joanna.
Hello, Julia. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it is so wonderful to have you. And you are the author of the book Unleashing the Psychic in You. Is that correct?
Unleash the Psychic in You.
Unleash the Psychic in You. Okay. Sorry, I need another pot of tea, I believe.
That's a good cup of tea.
Exactly. I did put it on the website, Unleash the Psychic in You, and I'm very excited about this. And to give our listeners a little background, you actually conducted a teleconference a few days ago, where you were also speaking with Heidi Hochman, who is now totally blind. And what's interesting is that you were talking about actually using your intuition, and interestingly how those of us who are visually impaired or blind are having to rely on our intuition all the more because of the physical challenges that we have. So what I'd like to do, Joanna, is ask you, first of all, how long have you been aware of your psychic ability? Is this a lifelong awareness, or is it something that was latent in your life?
A combination of, I'm going to give two answers there. One is I've been psychic since I was 6 years old, although actually after doing teleseminar on Tuesday, I realized that I had psychic awareness since I was three, but I didn't use it or understand how to use it to my benefit to be able to help other people until I reached, 21 years old. So for me it was something that was always there, but before it controlled me and it sort of caused more havoc or pain for me in my life and was a frightening experience for me. And now I find it a real blessing, a gift, and a very positive experience in my life.
Well, let's get into some of the details about that, some of the more painful experiences that occurred, because I know that that can happen quite a lot, especially with those of us who are lifelong mystics and psychics. And the interesting thing that I like to note to everyone is that we all are intuitive by nature, but we unfortunately have been conditioned out of it. So I'm gathering that you have had a lot of experiences that were painful for you as a result of your awareness of being psychic or intuitive. What are some of the things that happened to you? And I take it that it was just because you were so aware, and that is a heavy responsibility to incur. Go ahead and give us some details about some of the events that occurred in your life.
Well, for me, I mean, also I just want to add to what you said, I really agree with you that everyone has intuition and everyone, if they choose to, can develop it and use it to their benefit in their lives. For me, the most challenging experiences I've had psychically are through clairsentience, clear feeling. Mm. And so it's the physical sense, the physical sensations and the emotional sensations that I will have when I pick up energy from other people. And sometimes what I found was, at first when I didn't understand the specifics of how the energies worked and I just felt them emotionally and physically, was that, I just want to think about how to explain this. It was, I didn't realize that people weren't trying to direct their energy at me. It was their unconscious energy coming at me. So if someone was going through a really hard time, or they'd had a bad argument, or they were really sick, they were really ill, I would literally just feel their energy, especially people that have cancer. It makes me, when people have cancer, and I've been around cancer patients and worked with cancer patients, I would find it very, very draining. It would make me almost physically sick.
Now, did this happen since childhood as well?
Yes, it has been. I used to get ill, and I wouldn't understand why I felt so ill at certain times. And I really feel for my parents, because I would say, you know, I don't feel good, I feel sick, I have this symptom, I have that symptom. And my parents would say, well, there's nothing wrong with you. And then they'd take me to the doctor, and the doctor would say, there's nothing wrong. And I didn't understand, and I knew those symptoms were real for me. And it was the clairsentience.
Yes. That had to be so hard, and I can certainly relate to what you're saying, because I've been that way all my life too, and still am, although I'm able to make the distinction now between it coming from other sources rather than just myself or within my own body and that sort of thing. And then we have to do a lot of work to protect ourselves from that, because I know I couldn't visit anyone in hospital, because I'd be so ready to faint. And
yes,
and another strong word defining that is being an empath, and it's a mixed, it's sort of like a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because it's a special gift, and at the same time, it's a very painful one. It's a very challenging one to have. So how do you deal with this? You know, once you've found out about that being the case, how have you dealt with that?
Well, something that I'd love to just share with you before, that intuitively comes to mind, that I feel is relevant to this call, and then I can share with you how I dealt with that, is the challenges that came up for me with the clairsentience was that I would go through, the way I dealt with it was I would eat a lot. I would go through fluctuations in my weight of where I would, and I see it with a lot of psychics out there, where they, including myself, would eat a lot to try and numb the clairsentience, to numb out the feeling of these energies, and to desensitize myself from those feelings. And that didn't really work. It sort of worked temporarily. It was a quick fix, and then the yucky feelings would come back with a vengeance. And I learned that the way to protect myself and process these energies was, firstly, to get very aware of myself, really to begin to go into deep awareness, because then I could filter out what was my energy and what was someone else's energy when I would be absorbing other people's energy, when I would go into a situation, an environment, a place where I would need to shield myself, other times where I just need to just shut off altogether and just shut off my psychic senses.
This is something that also typically happens with near-death experiences, and of course I've had multiple NDEs. People will find themselves a lot more psychic after having had a near-death episode. And since a number of these people have not been aware of their innate intuitive abilities, they also will be beset with these challenges some people, if they just walk past somebody, they'll pick up on stuff around them, and it's very challenging, very painful for them, because they feel absolutely everything. And again, there is that sort of a mixed bag kind of thing with it, because it's very useful to have this ability, and at the same time, again, it's very, very challenging and can be painful. Now, with me, I'm quite the opposite. I tend to shut down and I'm not able to eat, and I guess that's why I'm kind of tiny, because when I would be traumatized or upset or what have you, I couldn't eat anything at all. My whole body would just shut down. But it's interesting how people will respond to these things in different ways. And I'm sure you've got a lot to share with us, because you have developed courses about making use of your intuition. So let's go ahead further. When did you start to really integrate this into your life, to make it your friend, in other words, and to start using it professionally?
Yeah, well, I went from, I shut in my teenage years. I tried to sort of shut it down and go into denial. And then when I turned, I guess, 20, I was 20 or 21. I can't remember the specifics, but right on around that time, I started to have very, very strong psychic feelings, especially the clairsentience and clairvoyance as well, so seeing energy, and also a very strong clairaudience, where I would start hearing things, but as my own voice in my head, but I knew that it wasn't me. I knew it was something, you know, it was different in character from me. And I kept trying to ignore those signs. And I knew that someone or something at that point was trying to communicate with me. So I remember one night going to sleep, and I had this dream. I was staying at my dad's place at the time in London, and I was looking after his home while he was away on vacation. And it was 6 in the morning, and the phone went, and no one knew. Like, I wasn't allowed to give my father's landline number out. And the phone went, and I remember it sort of woke me up. It startled me. I answered the phone. The line was just quiet. There was nothing there. It was like almost like hearing when you put one of those seashells to your ear.
Yeah.
You listen, you hear the, like where it's just, it was just reminding me of when I used to do that with my grandparents' shell when I was a kid, and I said hello, and I felt really panicked and put the phone down. The point story that I missed out before that was, I was having a dream where a guide appeared to me in the dream and said, look, I'm your spirit guide. And I just said, oh, this is ridiculous, like, you know, well, this isn't scary, and I don't really believe you're here. And the way that the guide presented itself to me was with white long hair and a white beard and white robes, like how I would imagine God as a child. Now, I know the guide didn't really look like that, and that was just to make me feel comfortable and to give me confirmation as a sign. And he said to me in the dream, I'm going to give you a sign now. And that's when the phone rang and woke me up, and the line was just quiet. And then I hung the phone up and then picked it up again, and it was dead. And for me, that was my confirmation. I just knew. Now, yes, a skeptic could just say, well, you know, someone phoned, you just didn't have a clear connection, you know, anything like that. But I know. I just know from having had so many things since then happen in my life that couldn't possibly be explained. But that was the catalyst for me to dive deeper into exploring this path and opening to learning. And so, you know, I went to the College of Psychic Studies and learned some things there and saw different psychics there. And then I went and did different metaphysical courses, and I immersed myself in learning everything psychic. And when I first went to different psychics, what came for me was that, I'm just trying to think about this again. It's like, gosh, it's going back so many, you know, quite a few years. I'm struggling here. when I went to see different psychics, I got very frustrated because I ended up reading for them. And I was like, why am I paying to go and have a reading? And then I'm giving information. And my guides repeatedly said to me, this is what you're meant to be doing. Like, and I just thought that was absolutely ridiculous. And I never saw myself doing what I'm doing now.
Now, let's back up just a little bit. Why were you so much in conflict with, this awareness coming forth and you're getting the message from your guide? Was it because of the trauma of being clairsentient, or was it because of pressures from others? What were some of the things that caused you to really try to balk at this or push it away?
I would say the ego part of me, some part of me that was frightened of the ego of being wrong, and then the good part of me that was frightened of being responsible, feeling responsible for other people. Of course, I'm not responsible for other people's choices, and I've learned that now. I pass on information to people, and then it's up to them what they do with that information. But it's taken me many years to get to the point where I can give the information and then not feel responsible for people, because I would take on people's stuff. I would feel their pain and then just want to make everything okay for them.
Oh, yes, that sounds familiar.
I know you understand that, right?
Yes. Oh, I can't tell you how constantly I'm going through that myself. You know, you just feel this very nurturing sort of quality. And, you know, once in a while I, too, would get something, a message from someone, and that person would say something, and then I would feel like I was responsible, and I thought, no, blimey, no, I'm not responsible for what happens to that individual. That individual is solely responsible. I'm just a messenger.
Yes.
And that's what we need to remember, is that we're just messengers, just sort of like cosmic postmen, you know. We're not responsible for the contents of the or what happens to the individual once they receive the message, just the message itself.
I think you also hit on a great point there, is the contents, the way the message comes through was, I know for me it took a period of years to really trust myself to be able to decipher the clairvoyant images I would be receiving, the clairaudience I would be hearing, how to know and understand the clairsentience, the empathetic feelings I would have in my body for someone else, how to convey that message to someone else. And I see that a lot of other psychics have challenges with understanding the messages, especially platform psychics, where this one top psychic that when I was doing the TV show that I hosted and produced in the UK, I did all the casting for that. And I remember this top psychic, I'm not going to say her name, I mean, she's a very good, kind person. She said to me, oh, I see, you know someone with a red sports car? And I said, no. And she's like, oh, it's... you know, your father has one. She was just going all around the houses, and she just says, well, you're going to meet someone with a red sports car. I found that really frustrating, because for me, my understanding is if someone gives you a red sports car, a guide gives you a red sports car with symbology in a reading, there's some type of meaning to it. There's something more. You don't just give the physical symbol to the person.
Exactly.
You go deeper.
Mm.
And I think it's very important as a psychic, a psychic medium, and an intuitive, to work hard to go to really build your psychic dictionary and to make that effort, so that when you are reading for people, or when you're reading, if you choose to read for yourself, that you get very clear with those answers.
And people really do need to learn the gift of discernment, and indeed how to properly interpret and convey the messages, images, what have you, that are coming to them. And You know, even though I've been doing this professionally for 40 years, I sometimes still get shy. Quite interesting. And yet this is something that we all need to use and to trust in. And another thing that I have found, too, is that, for example, for some reason, it's very hard for people to read me. And I have found that people can only read according to their own depth and awareness.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And the other thing that I'd like to add to what you just said is some people, it's very hard for people to read me as well. And I don't normally get readings from other people. But I was told a couple of months ago to get a reading from someone, a specific person. And I got a reading from them. And they told me one thing in the first minute that was absolutely relevant, totally spot on. And for the next, whatever it was, 29 minutes, whatever I asked, they couldn't see anything. And in my head, I was saying, this person is not the psychic that I thought they were. And what my guide was saying to me was, they're an excellent psychic. It's just that they're not meant to know certain things about you.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I think sometimes when someone goes to a psychic, it's not that the person, you know, some people aren't good. It's not that the person, it's about finding the right relationship. And that, yeah, sometimes I think our spirit guides or our higher self protects us from, shields us so that people can't see everything about us, and because we're not meant to know every single part of the movie that, you know, of our life.
Exactly. That's such a good point too. And you know, there are certain things that are kept from me being able to convey to somebody else. So I think that there are those two dynamics, you know, again, the message being contingent on how much depth the practitioner has, and also, you know, how much is actually supposed to be conveyed. So a lot of messages can in fact be blocked. Like you, I rarely get a reading from somebody else because they, for the most part, they just can't see me for whatever reason. But it would seem to me that with that session you had, you were just supposed to get that one significant message and the rest was rather irrelevant.
That's it, because that's what I find is the way that we as human beings in general see things, the information of what we think is a priority and what spirit thinks is a priority are two different things. So all the other questions that I was asking weren't a priority, I know, in my spirit guide's eyes. They just wanted me to know that specific piece of information. And it's the same again when people get readings from me and I see that their guides give specific information to them, and then the person will ask something else and I will say, this is what you need to know. If you want to do this or you want this answer, this is what's relevant to you. And it's interesting to see people struggle so much with receiving the information. However, maybe 3 months, 6 months later, that after that seed has been planted, it pops for them, and they get it, and they have that breakthrough. It just takes people time to be able to really hear.
Do you find that people will get frustrated when you are offering certain information and then they're asking other questions, and then after a while I want to say hopefully that they'll come back to you and say, Tommy, you're absolutely right with that information that you conveyed, because I go through the same thing. I'll tell them that I'm getting something that they need to be aware of, and most of the time I'll always get a message back that ended up being the case after all.
I think that happens when you're seeing something in the future that hasn't happened yet, and of course
yes.
The person can't relate to it and they just don't get it, and then when it obviously it's a probable future, but when that somehow comes to light for them, then there's the understanding. For me now, I mean, in the past, I have almost fought against their will, the person's will earlier on, to be able to try and convey the message. And now I'm very selective about who I work with.
Yeah.
I only want to work with people that are willing to use the information for the highest good and to really be proactive in what they do. It's like going for a training session at the gym and, you know, saying to the trainer, oh, I just want you to make me have the perfect body. I mean, the trainer can't work you out for you. You've got to do the workout. And I feel it's, for me, I feel I can give the person the program, the exercises, everything that they need, and I can cheerlead them on. But it's up to them to take the action steps. And without that, if someone is not willing to take responsibility, I will not work with them. And I've said to people really nicely before, I'm sorry, I think it's better you go and work with someone else. Because I have to respect me being tapped in with spirit, with God. And if someone wants to invalidate that, that's fine, that's their truth. But I'm not going to allow someone to try and undermine who I am and my connection. And so that took me time to learn to set those boundaries. And I see, again, a lot of psychics that have struggled with having good personal boundaries.
Yes, good point there, isn't it? And I really see us as having a lot in common because
yeah.
When I'm doing a session, I not only share with people the insights that I'm receiving, but I also give them tools to work with and coach them simultaneously. And I think it's very important, you know, not only to give them the insights that we see, but also to help them, to educate them and help them to be empowered to implement this into their own lives. And obviously you've really gotten into this because you are an intuitive coach. Is that how you refer to it? Which I think is spot on, actually.
At the end of the day, I mean, everything's a label, you know, psychic this, medium that. I mean, people just like to pigeonhole us.
I believe
the way that we or anyone can connect to spirit, to God, makes us limitless, and it connects us to the, you know, to the infinite. But as human beings, we like to limit things and just put labels on them. So we get called a psychic or a medium or a psychic medium or an empath or a clairvoyant. And so I liked intuition coach for me because I found sometimes people are frightened by the term psychic and psychic medium and the
sensationalism
on TV.
And
also I like the coaching element because, like what you just said before, I want to show people how to take care of themselves. I don't want anyone to become reliant on me, because I know that each person has all their gifts inside of them. So my passion is being able to help people see what their blind spots are, bring them to light, and then say, okay, here is a working plan for you. Here's a solution to go and get you on track. And then you just got to practice and keep applying these skills and take these specific steps. And then, of course, I mean, it doesn't stop. I mean, I'm constantly educating myself and receiving new information from spirit, from my guides. I always want to keep learning more so I can keep giving people more as well. And I'm sure you're the same.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you took the thought right out of my head, actually. Because and I think that this is something so special, and I want to share a point too, which is quite interesting. I believe I sent to you the article that I wrote to trusting your own intuition, which I wrote over 10 years ago, what's interesting is that it had originally been called Trusting Your Own Psychic Powers.
Mm.
Well, when somebody was publishing it in the hard copy in the magazine, she said, do you mind if we change the title to Intuition? And I thought, oh, blimey, you know, people, there just seems to be this stigma around the word psychic, and you just iterated that yourself. Why all of this stigma going about with it? And when it all comes right down to it, I just share with everyone, what psychic only means being aware. That's all it is. It's just being aware of the fact, you know, we are multi-sensory and we are multi-dimensional beings. So, sure, and never mind, it's not a problem. I'll change it to trusting your own intuition. But how funny that people get caught up on certain words, and then on top of that, they demonize being psychic or intuitive or what have you. And so, you know, we've got a lot of work cut out for us to, again, educate the masses and to let them know that there's nothing demonic about this. It's, again, it's just being aware. So I'm sensing that you struggled with a lot of this yourself. You had to be very careful about how you presented yourself, what words you used, how they were defined and interpreted and what have you. And so now, you know, I know about in England and even in America, you know, there's the psychical research, you know, they use the word psychic, and even in the spiritualist groups and all of that, they'll still use the word psychic and medium. And personally, I see nothing wrong with it, because to me, again, it just means being aware. Have you had, you know, instances where you actually would help educate people on these different terms and just what they mean?
Just, you know, it's funny. One thing was, I remember meeting someone and talking to them about the benefit of psychic reading, and they were just so terrified when I said the word psychic. I mean, literally, they were just like, I'm so frightened. And I said, why? Why are you so frightened? They said, well, whatever you tell me, then it will happen, and I don't want to know. And I said, look, psychic reading is preventative medicine. It helps you see a probable future, more than one probable future, and then you can change your path accordingly.
Exactly.
You know, for the highest good. And people, I think what happens is with psychic beings is that they feel powerless. That's one aspect of things. And the other thing that I wanted to share as well is that I think that some people have really given psychic a bad name because they're exploiting it, and they're using it in a really for, you know, selfish purposes and more ego driven and just for being manipulative and control. And so then for the people out there that really are doing good and helping people, it's such a shame. And the third reason being, some people are calling themselves psychics but just don't really, haven't done the training. They just haven't done it, and they're just going sort of very basic, giving very basic wishy-washy reading.
Yes.
I mean, I've had people come to my workshops that are more psychic than psychics that I've gone to when I first started seeing psychics.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I certainly understand that.
Yeah.
And then we've had to deal with this so-called gypsy syndrome, with a person who says, oh, you're under a great curse, you're going to need to spend squillions of dollars in order to get it removed,
yeah.
And that's not a legitimate psychic. Or
people really need to watch out. I've had a few of my clients that have come to me, and the thing is that they came to me in confidence and said they felt really embarrassed because, you know, a couple of the people I know that it happened to, they're very, very smart. I mean, very smart, very intelligent people that are successful in their lives. And they wondered, how did they end up making this mistake? One person spent several $1,000s.
Yes.
Because they believed that by going to this psychic in Beverly Hills next to Vidal Sassoon, so it's, you know, right literally by Rodeo Drive, and
In California, correct?
Yes, in exactly, Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles.
Mm.
And so spent the money, and then the next time round was she was told that she needed to spend $25,000, and she said no, thank God. But it's awful. And then the psychic was gone. She went back there to sort of go and contest things, and supposedly she's gone off to New York, but there's no contact number and someone else is there. And also they have to pay by money order or cash.
Yes, yes.
Not a good sign. I mean, I think you always have to have references, you know, referrals from people. And I don't know about you, but I've done I wrote a checklist on, which was an article I wrote, the five biggest mistakes to avoid when selecting a psychic, just so that people know what to ask.
That's a good point, yes. I have actually included a ton of testimonies on my website, and when I get more testimonies, both, you know, all the ones that I get, I put them on the website so that people can feel at ease, because with any profession, and I've even written about this in another article, actually, it's called Psychic Hotlines, an Insider Story, and a few of us have been through that. In fact, I've recently been in touch with Linda Jordan, who, you know, she and Dionne Warwick, you know, were used as a psychic friends network, and it ended up that actually dear Linda was severely exploited by the corporation, and they still owe her money to this day. But anyway, I wrote an expose on these major psychic hotlines in America, and I didn't write them by name because I didn't want anyone to come after me, you know. But, you know, and I point out in the article that there are quacks, quote-unquote, in any profession. There are very positive ones, and there are also negative ones, but that the negative ones should not represent the whole of the, you know, the realm of practitioners who are available to do this work.
I agree, and you know, again, what you're saying with the psychic hotlines, I personally have a strong stance on this. They do not resonate with me because there is a very high turnover of psychics. Anyone at these big companies. The companies take the majority of the money.
Yes,
the psychics get very little, and they, you know, it's not a good energy when you know that the psychic is being exploited like that. Already, it's not setting up the right vibration, the supportive vibration for the psychic who's doing the reading, for the customer, for the client, and also I just find the. Whatever they say with the testing that they do, really the quality of psychics, a good psychic would not be attracted to those phone lines. Maybe 5% of the psychics would be good. That's my hit on it, my intuitive feeling.
Actually, I had gotten involved with it. I think it was still quite new. This is back in 1992, so it was going, you know, quite a ways back. What it did for me, and it was interesting, it was because I was very ill and I was bedridden. And so a friend told me about this, and he said, well, this is a way that you can give readings via telephone. And I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Which is a great idea, and it's a great way to do it.
In itself, that is. And that's what actually catapulted me into realizing that I could do that very easily. And, in fact, most of the sessions I conduct are via telephone because I've got clients all over the world. So that was the positive side of it. But as you point out, I had this mountain of paperwork to deal with. I had to be screened. I got 25 cents a minute out of a $5 a minute call. It's only a very few of us who got that amount. Most people only would get 15 to 20 cents a minute out of a $5 a minute call. So it was severe exploitation, very, very painful. And I got out of that quickly, but it resulted in a good article. Again, it's on my website, towardthelight.org, under articles. And let's give the listeners your website, Medea, and then I want to ask you about your work as an instructor and all of this. Give our listeners your website so people can go visit your website, and then I also want to ask you about your book.
Yes. So the website is www.joannagarzilli.com. So that's my name, JoannaGarzilli, joannagarzilli.com.
Or GarzilliZilli,
yes, for the Brits.
For those of us. Okay. And so you've got the book, and then you do.
And I'm on Facebook as well. So if anyone wants to connect with me on Facebook, type in Joanna Garzilli on the search for Facebook and become friends with me, because I love that.
Oh, that's great. Okay, Facebook.
Yeah, when you go to Facebook.com.
Okay.
Are you on Facebook?
No, but that's something I think I'm going to have to get into. I've recently found out about it. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a great way for connecting with people across the world.
And that's for people who are offering services and that sort of thing.
Facebook is just a fantastic social networking tool.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful way to stay in touch with people. And I have people that I know on Facebook in many different countries.
Oh, lovely. So let's get into the information about your book, Unleashing the Psychic in You, and then also about your work as an instructor, as a coach.
Yeah, so the idea for the book came about because I just felt that, again, anything that I put out there is because it's something that I want for myself as well. I always look at it from a perspective of, is this interesting for me? Is this helpful? Like, what is missing that's needed? And I know there's many good psychic books out there, great psychic books. I just felt that I wanted to provide something for people that would be simple to use, accessible, and really fun. And I see the biggest challenge for people is understanding energy that is abstract and making it tangible and being able to apply principles to one's everyday life. So for me, I suppose I'm just taking a pause to think about this. This one's like a little energy download.
Sure. I understand that.
For me, I found that I needed to, sometimes I would, especially when I was becoming psychic, so much was going on for me. I felt very ungrounded, and I just didn't know how to apply the benefits of the energy of the skills that I was developing. And so this book is going to really help people get a good, strong handle on how to let their intuition happen from the inside out instead of them trying to search for things outside of themselves. I'm really noticing that at the moment where people developing psychically, the awareness seems to be outside, and I think it's important to have outer awareness, but it really stems from within. And again, you know, maybe a lot of people that are listening to this understand that intellectually, but we can never understand it too much experientially.
Yes, and this is such a great point that you're making. I'm so pleased with this, because I share this with a lot of people too, that we really do need to go within to find the answers, because we've always got that direct link to source, always.
Absolutely, and I believe that when within words, especially when you have written words on a page, there's an energy, there's a vibration to them.
Yes.
So when I write, when I channel, that when people read, they will, their spirit, their soul, their mind, their body will be attuned to that vibration on the page that will help open their senses within them. Now, it's going to what I call it activation. You know,
yes.
It's an activation that occurs, a cellular activation. So things that have been locked before where they haven't been able to see something come to light. Like the Celestine Prophecy is a fiction book with a great tool for people to awaken psychically. And I know in the Celestine Prophecy for me that helped me really open my clairvoyance.
Oh, it's excellent, isn't it? And it's really good at pointing out synchronicity. And that's what I would call fiction nonfiction.
Yeah.
You know, because it really is full of fact, and it seems that an easy way to get facts out there is to write it up as a story. And this is wonderful. I'm so pleased that it triggered a lot of people looking at this, paying attention. And another thing that I think is interesting, how people will take the word coincidence and they translate it into meaning chance, which, of course, there is no such thing as mere chance. And so I like to pronounce it coincidence, because
yes.
These are events that coincide with one another and are connected. So in that context, I absolutely believe in coincidences.
Absolutely. The other thing I wanted to share with, as well with my book, is that, you know, I want people to feel that they don't have to rush through it, and that...
Good point.
That you can just go a little bit at a time. When I was developing psychically, I wanted to just plow through books because I thought, oh, well, if I read the whole book, then I'm going to get more psychic faster. I know it doesn't work like that. Sometimes I can now... I'll take a book and I'll open it on a certain page and I'll read a sentence three times, and then I'll read the same sentence the next day three times, and then again the next day, and then I'll move on to something else, because I really like to integrate the energy of what's on the page into my whole being so that I really, really get it. So this book isn't just going to work at an intellectual level. It's going to work at a spiritual level, and it will really help people develop their own senses from the inside out if they allow themselves to be permeated by the energy of the book instead of trying to search for something inside the book.
Now, do I understand correctly it's not been released yet?
Not yet.
When is it due out, Lovey?
It's going to be out... I would say that it's going to be probably in the summer, by September the 1st at the latest.
Okay, so we've got a few months yet. I'm sure people are going to be on the edges of their seats waiting.
It's going to be really good.
How long is it, love?
It's about 200 pages.
200 pages, great. Well,
yes.
I'm certainly looking forward to receiving my copy, and of course I've put... an image of it on the website now. Can people order it in advance, or are you not ready to receive orders yet?
They can order it in advance by going to my website. So if someone wants to order in advance, they're welcome to do that. Otherwise, when it comes out, there will be an opportunity to get it then, and, you know, it'll be ready in there, and I'm excited about that, and then there'll be workshops that I teach in accordance, which sort of go hand in hand with the book, really with, you know, applying the principles from the book so that people get to have, again, the experiential, not just the intellectual. That's the biggest thing I see with people struggle with when they're learning, is getting in their head.
Yes.
And in my workshops, a lot of the time I will take people through some form of guided visualization first, and then go into teachings, so that their mind isn't trying to work out what's happening.
Oh, that's really wonderful approach there. We've only got just a few more minutes. I would like to ask you if you've got classes or workshops or special events that are coming up that you would like to share with our listeners.
Right now, the places that I teach are at the Bodhi Tree in West Hollywood, and I teach at the Aura Shop in Santa Monica as well. I haven't set any dates right now because I am working on putting a whole load of products together right now, actually, and a lot of good things that are coming up, and I also just signed a contract with a major TV production company for a television show out here in the States, which will be teaching people how to use their own intuition. So,
that's lovely. Will it be a weekly broadcast?
I am not sure what the, depending, I'm just not sure yet. Mm. I don't know because I just signed that deal.
Okay.
But I will definitely keep you posted on that, but that will be something that goes out on one of the US networks.
Okay. Is it, because I don't watch telly at all, so I'm not really familiar with all of them. I know there's cable networks and all these other things going about, but all of the information will be on your website.
Yes.
And again, that's Joanna Garzelli, JoannaGarzilli.com. And, of course, you will have a page on towardthelight.org, and it will be towardthelight.org/JoannaGarzilli.html. And then I'll also put information about your book and things that are coming up. Really quickly, did you have... I think during the teleseminar that you conducted a few days ago, you were talking about, was it a course fit for $200, or is that something that you want to share with our listeners?
A course? Gosh, what course was I talking about?
Well, you were offering something for about $200, or that was a $200 value or something, and I was
It's my my special newsletter, Intuition Weekly. So that goes, would receive that every week. And I share a tip or certain steps to apply using one's intuition and one's psychic ability. And they're all things that I've practiced or tried myself.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's an e-zine. It's an online magazine.
Okay.
And that goes out weekly. And that's what that is.
So people, again, if they go to your website, they can sign up for your e-zine?
Yes. They would just on the homepage there, they would be able to sign up for that. And, they would just put their email information in there. And there's also a page on my website as well that there is a free audio download which gives a 15-minute sort of guided meditation about how to develop sensory acuity.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that is really helpful as well, and people can download that for free as well from the website.
Well, I'm on such a similar campaign as you because for so long I've been really wanting to help educate and inspire people, you know, and they say, oh, you're so lucky you can do this. And I said, well, to be honest with you, we can all do it. And I remember when I was in Nashville, I was actually tutoring someone, a lovely man who's a musician and a friend, and it was tremendously wonderful, and I was instructing him on how to do mediumship, how to do medium work, and funnily enough, he said, I just saw something fly over your head, and I knew that an acquaintance of mine was getting ready to cross over, and I looked up and I thought, blimey, is that Earl? And my friend saw it. Well, sure enough, a little while later, I got a phone call that, in fact, this individual had crossed over at the very moment my friend Daryl saw him go whoosh, right above my head.
Brilliant.
So I said, you see how easy that is? And I share with people that mainly you've just got to relax into it. It isn't something you have to put forth effort. Does that resonate with you when I say that?
It definitely does. I believe that when things are meant to come through, they do. And especially with medium, normally when people come to me for medium readings, I'm glad they don't tell me. It's like the person will just come through that's passed over. And that's more helpful because if someone comes to me and says, oh, I want a medium reading, I feel it sometimes it puts a pressure.
Yes.
And so, normally the person doesn't tell me. And back around Christmas time, this woman came to see me, and similar like to your situation, she sat down, and I said, is there anything you want to ask? And she said, no. And then I could just see, like, black, clairvoyantly black around her heart, and to me that meant, you know, huge loss.
Yeah.
Again, where we were talking about determining psychic symbols, what things mean. And she started to get emotional, and I remember I happened to be in person with her, and I was pulled to put my hand on her heart, and as I did, I felt this energy, this spirit send into me, and I said, I'm being told the word son. Does that mean anything to you? And she said, yes. And I said, he's saying 16 and underlining it. And she said, yes. And she said, basically, my son just died at 16 years old, and everything came through, all the information of how he died, and yeah, it still always blows me away. If I didn't have the experience, it would be really hard for me to believe it.
Well, you're doing tremendous work, and I'm so pleased that you were able to join us today, and hopefully you're feeling a lot better. And
thank you. I felt all the good energy you were sending me. I really did.
Well, you're so welcome, my dear. We have been speaking with Joanna Garzelli, who's a lovely psychic and medium and an intuitive coach, author of the book Unleashing the Psychic in You. This is Juliet Nightingale reminding you that it is only with a heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please join us for another transmission of Toward the Light next week. And also, remember, this is a wonderful reminder to never forget, only love prevails. We'll speak to you next week. Love and light to all of you, and thanks once again to you, Joanna.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com. Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.